All right, Jabal, say good morning. Let's begin. So we begin on Nun Hey Amud Aleph. On Nun Hey Amud Aleph, we'll pick up with the Mesve. So three lines down from the top. So remember again, I will say what we're focusing on today is a statement by Rav Acha made on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. So on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Rav Acha said, I'll just quote from the Gemara, Lomar Shetokin Al Kol Musaf U Musaf. Rav Acha's position was that every Musaf offering, so meaning even if you have a day that has multiple Musaf offerings, every Musaf offering gets its own set of tekios, which by definition means also gets its own Shira. So the Gemara has already brought up a number of different kashas on Rav Acha. So the Gemara here asks another one. Meisve, the Tani Rav Bar Shmuel, Yochol Kishim Shetokin Al Shabbos Bifnei Atzmo. One would have thought that the same way that we blow a set of tekios for Shabbos. Now, what this means, look at Rashi. Yochol kashem shetokin. It says Rashi, al musaf shorosh chodesh bifnei atzmo kishechal b'chol, va'al musaf Shabbos bifnei atzmo kishilavad. Now, one might have thought that the same way that you blow a set of tekios for the musaf of Rosh Chodesh by itself, the musaf of Shabbos by itself, kach yu token al kol musaf u musaf. So you might have thought that we do a set of tekios for every musaf. So we're saying what Gemara is saying over here is the following: obviously, Shabbos by itself, the musaf of Shabbos gets its set of tekios. The musaf of Rosh Chodesh gets its set of tekios. I might have thought that therefore you get a set of tekios for every single musaf. Meaning, even if you have one day with multiple musaf offerings, I also remember where this comes up. The Yamim Tovim. So Sukkis, right? Shabbos Sukkis. So Talmud Lomar. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Uberashi chatsheich achot sheichem." So remember again, the pasuk over here is talking about is Rashi chot sheichem utekatim bechatzotzros al oloseichem. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, "No." Therefore, the pasuk says, "Uberashi chot sheichem tiyufta Rabbi Acha tiyufta." Oh, therefore, the pasuk says, "Rashi chot sheichem." This refutes Rabbi Acha's position. Meaning, from this pasuk, we learn that you do not blow a separate set of tekios and a separate shira for every single musaf, and indeed, this is a refutation. Says the Gemara, "My Talmuda, what just happened over here?" Meaning, you quoted two words from a pasuk, "Ubrashi chot sheichem," and you told me, "Oh, we have effectively refuted Rabbi Acha." My Talmuda means like, where exactly did we learn that out from? Listen to this. Amar Abai is very, very interesting. So Abai says, like, Amar Krah, because the pasuk says, Uberashi chod sheichem, hukshu kol chadoshim kulam zeloze. So Abai responds, because the pasuk says, Uberashi chod sheichem, plural. Therefore, you see that the Torah equates all Roshi chadoshim one to the other. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Hukshu kol chadoshim kulam, le'inyon tikios, tikios, le'inyon tikios, shetikios seyon shavos, to teach you again, that every single Rosh Chodesh is the same, and that all of their tekios are the same. Meaning what Rabbi said, that there's only one set of tekios, and therefore one shofar, four musaf offerings, that's all, that even if you have a day with multiple musaf offerings, it's only going to be one set of tekios, and one shira. Okay, Rav Ashi has a different drasha. He says, again, we'll say, Abai and Rav Ashi are arguing on as to how to darshan the word, or the phrase, Uberashe Chachecha. So Rav Ashi says, Ksiv, this is very interesting. See, Rabbi say we read it as chod sheichem, but in fact it's written in the Torah without the yud. So this is always an interesting exegetical principle that one could employ, which is that one could vocalize the word differently than the way that it's written. So even though we pronounce it chod sheichem, which would seem to, which again when you enunciate that, it sounds like it's ches dalid shin yud chof mem, but in fact it's written in the Torah without the yud, which means it can be vocalized as how. Chod Shechem. Chod Shechem means what? Your month, your Rosh Chodesh, singular. Singular. Okay. So Rav Ashi Amar, Ksiv Chod Shechem, Uksiv Uberashe. But here's the problem. Because on one end it says Chod Shechem, which means singular, but Rashe is what? Rashe is plural. So this is fascinating. So the Gemara says, Ve'eze Chodesh, Sheyesh Lo Shnei Rashim. So what is the month? What is the month that has two heads? What is the month that has two heads? Heavy Omer Zer Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Oh, so we'll say there's only one month that has two heads because there's only one month. Well, there's only one month that has two heads. That's Rosh Hashanah because Rosh Hashanah again is the new year. But remember again, it's also Rosh Chodesh. Take a look at Rashi. Shnei Roshim Rosh Chodesh for Rosh Hashanah. V'karyei Rachmana Chod Shechem Chaser Ksev Le'inyan Tekios. I'm sorry. So before we get to that, Zer Rosh Hashanah. V'Amar Rachmana Chod Shechem Chadhi. So we'll say, here's a fascinating drash. Says Ravashi, Torah says, Rosh Chod Shechem, but it could be vocalized, Rosh Chod Shechem. What is the Rosh Chodesh, or what is the month that has two heads? That's Rosh Hashanah. And what does it say? Uver Rosh Chod Shechem. And on the month that has two heads, two Russian, right, two heads, you're going to do what? Utekatim bechatzosros. Meaning what? That there's only going to be one set of shofar blasts. That even on the month that has two heads, and remember Rabosai, there are two different Musaf offerings, you are only going to blow one set of tekios, and therefore one shira. Va'otan, furthermore we learned, so we'll say again, so therefore according to Ravashi, Ravashi is not coming to espouse a new idea, Ravashi is coming to shed light on the drasha that the Gemara just used to refute the position of Ravacha. So now we understand why the Gemara said Tiyufta, because Ravacha was of the opinion that what? That what? Every single Musaf gets its own tekios, and therefore its own shira. Yeah. Now the Torah says, based on Uvarat Chod Shechem, which according to Ravashi can be vocalized as Rosh Chod Shechem, Utekatem tells you that even if you have a time with multiple Musaf offerings, there's only one set of tekios, there's only one shira. So the Gemara Suva Otanya, furthermore we learned, Becholo Shomoid, on Cholamoid, Berishon Ma Omer. So this is actually very beautiful. So the Gemara is now, the Gemara is going to quote now a Braisa that goes through the different shiras on each day of Yom Tov. On each day of Yom Tov. Here actually is beginning with Chol HaMoed. Votanya, Becholo Shamoed, what would they say? And again, this is Sukkis. What would they say on the first day of Chol HaMoed of Sukkis? Barishon Mahayu Omrim, Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim. Literally give praise to Hashem, the Son of Mighty Ones. I will say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is Barishon, Biyom Harishon, the Cholo Shomoy. On the first day of Cholmoy, what would they say? Omrim Havula Hashem, Kala Mismar, Al Shem Shahayom Tchila Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Now, this particular capital of Tehillim was chosen because, remember, the first day of Cholmoy is also the first day of the water libations, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So Rashi says over here, Dahainu Kavod Va'os, Uba'osa Mismar, Kol Hashem al Hamayim. In this particular capital we write, or David HaMelech wrote, that literally the voice of Hashem is heard on the waters. So because of the water connection, this is the capital for the first day of Chol HaMoed. Next, Bashini Mahayu Omrim. What would they say on the second day of Chol HaMoed? Ularasha Amar Elokim. To the literally again, I will say this is capital Nun, capital 50. Ularasha Amar Elokim to the wicked HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you look at Rashi again, the So I will say again, after our first day of celebration, that'll make everybody feel good a little bit. Then boom, come second day. Musar. And what's the Musar? What are you doing here? Are you here to have fun? Are you here just to enjoy? Or are you here to do tshuva?
Well, what's the first type of
chavushim? Words that draw their hearts. So the Gemara, like, you know, kavush literally means to pickle something, right? So divrei kivushin means, you know, words that drain a little bit of arrogance from the ego, words that really humble. Words that humble people. And what would they go ahead? I'm sorry, let's just finish that, Rashi. Also in this capital, it speaks about the giving of karbanos. And remember again, the Yom Tov of Sukkis is the Yom Tov to go ahead and give over or to bring your karbanos. Remember again, both sides, when you make a neder to bring a karban, so you have a cycle in which to go ahead and bring that karban. The cycle consists of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkis. If you don't bring it by Sukkis of that year, you violate what we call the Baal Ta'acher. You violate the laying of your sacrificial vows. So the Gemara goes weiter. B'shlishi, what would they say on the third day of Chol HaMoed? Ma hayu omrim? Mi yokum li im mereim. Who will go ahead and stand up with me against the Rishoim? And Rashi says again, "Miu maklim im mireim ubino borim b'mizmor echad heim ubino borim muktam umiyakum li muuchar It's very interesting. So Rashi says, this capital of who will stand up with me against the wicked was talking about the fact that during the Second Temple era, the Jewish people had to contend with many enemies who tried to lord over them. People say, this is so beautiful. So one might have thought that because they're facing such external adversity, therefore, again, perhaps we should dispense with Simchas Yom Tov. The Jew always knows how to be besimcha, even in the face of external adversity. So we might have the Persians, we might have the Greeks, we might have the Romans later on, but Lamaisa, we're still going to engage in Simchas Yom Tov. Okay, weiter. Berevi'i Mayim, what would they say on the fourth day? Binu Borim Ba'am. Literally, fools among the nation. So again, Rashi points out over here, Binu Borim Ba'am, Binu Borim Ba'am. Rashi says, it's in the middle of the previous Rashi, it's the second wide line. Ulamachar, Bino Borim Ba'am, Ibn Sha'achshav Zman Matnos Anim, Shuzman Osif Zman Leket Shikho, Peo Maestro Oni, Ukishamagian Yamachronim Shane Krovin Lifros, Veloshu Labateim, Korlethem Lochicham Shia Ashu Karoi. So we'll say it's very interesting. So Bino Borim Ba'am means ultimately, again, here the capital is referring to those who try to hoard their riches for themselves because they think that finding the word of Hashem and giving tzedakah will impoverish them. Therefore, before everyone begins to take leave of the Mikdash, we exhort the people to go ahead and give the necessary tithes and tzedakah. B'chamishimaru omu, what would they say on the fifth day? Hasirosi misevel shichmo. Literally, he removes the burden from his shoulder. Rashi says over here, Hasirosi misevel shichmo, divrei tanchuminheim, im tisku betzara, karasa v'achatzecha. So again, this capital, the theme over here is, these are words of consolation. That if you follow the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately the burdens of life will be removed from your shoulders. Those vayitu b'shishi mayu omrim, what would they say on the sixth day? Yumotu kol moste aretz. We will say again, this is from capital Pei Aleph 81. So capital Pei Beis 82. So in this capital, Yumotu kol moste aretz, which literally means that the pillars of the earth will ultimately become weakened. We will say, here's the chab. V'imchal Shabbos be'echa mehem. What happens if Shabbos falls on one of these days? So Shabbos Chalamoy. So what happens in that particular situation? First off, if you just take a look at the previous Rashi, Rashi says, if you look at the end of Rashi, Moto Komas the Aretz, Lo Yadu V'lo Avinu U'misha'inu Nosim Libo L'Havin L'Kach B'Chashecha Yishalach Zumisa. So Rashi says over here at the end of the day, what this capital really highlights is that Lamaisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always take care of the righteous, will ultimately pay back to the wicked, and one who does not understand this concept walks in darkness in life. Okay, so the reason the whole Gemara brought this up was for this last statement. What happens when Shabbos falls on one of these days? Now here's the issue. Remember, what does it mean when we've gone through this whole list? This is the Shira that was sung on each of the days. What happens again when Shabbos comes out on one of these days? Now obviously when Shabbos comes out, Shabbos has its own Shira. So what happens when the Shira of Shabbos conflicts with the Shira of Sukkis? So what does the Gemara say? B'lchal Shabbos be'echar mehen. Yimotu yitcha. What happens when Shabbos comes out? Yimotu. Rabbi said, what is yimotu? Yimotu is the shira for the last day. So when Shabbos comes out, yimotu is pushed aside. In other words, Rabbi said, what is the Gemara effectively saying? That the shira of Shabbos usurps the shira of Sukkis and essentially delays the order by one day. So what ends up getting knocked off? Day seven. What do you see from here? That there is only one Shira per day. That again, because otherwise, what could you have done? Just say the Shira of Shabbos and the Shira of the particular day Chol HaMoed and Shalom HaYisrael. The fact that we're saying, no, the Shira of Shabbos usurps the Shira of Chol HaMoed, and then again, we can see, essentially, we have a pause in the order, and then what effectively happens is Shira of day seven gets knocked off. So you see from here again that we effectively refute the position of Rav Acha. Again, remember Rav Acha on Amud Aleph who said that Lamaisa, you go ahead and you say Shira for every single Muslim. We see from here that indeed is not the case. And that Lamaisa, again, the Shira of Shabbos knocks off the Shira of Sukkis. Rav Safra, Manach Bohu Simna. Shabbos, now that the Gemara mentions this, if you take a look, If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Imchal Shabbos be'echar nehen yitchu shira moi mifnei shir Shabbos." So again, when Shabbos holds on one of the days of Chol HaMoed, so the shira of Sukkis gets bumped off by the shira of Shabbos. Yimotu yitcha shehi shir acharon benitcha mifnei shamru be'echar b'Shabbos shir shayroi lomer esmo shein medalgin seder hashir u'b'sheni. So we'll say, interestingly enough, another point, which is you see that you do not disrupt the proper order of Shira on Sukkis. Meaning one would have been tempted to say that even if you want to say that Shabbos bumps off the Shira of Sukkis, what should have happened? Right? Go ahead and let it bump off that day, and then what? And then continue with the order from the next day on. We see that that's not the case. We don't skip in the order of Shira of Sukkis. Rather, we just simply bump off the next day. So back to the Gemara. Rav Safra, Malach Busimna. We'll say Rav Safra gave a mnemonic to remember the order of the Shira of the days of Chol HaMoed Sukkis. And what was the order? Humbihi. Humbihi. Okay, so you'll go back and you'll see that Humbihi is the first letter of each of the letters of the Shira of the various days of Chol HaMoed. Rav Papa Manach Busimna. Rav Papa had a different mnemonic. He said Humhabi. And I will say, now what's the difference between Humbihi and Humhabi? The difference obviously is in the hay and the bays, meaning I will say they have a machlokes between Binu Borim, which was the Shira of the fourth day, and Hasirosi Misebel Shichmo. So Rav Safra and Rav Papa apparently just had a machlokes in the order between days 4 and 5. They agreed in the same inclusion of Saint Kapitlok, just a machlokes in the order. Visimanach, and if you want to remember how to see these things, you say Baruch Hashem, Torah Shabbat Peh is now written, because it seems to be a little bit more complicated to remember all these mnemonics than anything else. V'simanach, and if you wanted to remember who said what, V'simanach, Ambuha de Safri. I will say, the word Ambuha, if you look at Rashi, Ambuha, Rashi says, Gidude Anoshim Menoshim. Ambu in Aramaic means a gathering of men and women. Regilim Lahalik Bemavoy Shemalam de Tinokos, which refer to a gathering of parents who would go to collect their children from the yeshiva, from the cheder, from the house of the melamed. Shatinokos v'avosein v'imosein mitzuyin etzlam. Afkan mishishmo safra hayasimna humbahi shedome letevas ambuha. So I must say, if you want to remember who said what, just remember ambuha de safri. Ambuha de safri literally means, refers to the assembly of adults who would come to collect their children from the melamed. So ambuha de safri. So again, the word ambuha, resembles the word humbahi, which was the mnemonic of Rav Safra. So Ambuha de Safra, Hambuhi de Safra, that's the way to remember it. Okay, hopefully that's helpful. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta. Tiyufta de Rav Acha bar Chanina, Tiyufta de Rav Bose. What does come out from this sugya is that we have effectively refuted the position of Rav Acha. Look at Rashi. Tiyufta de Rav Acha, the Amar Tolkien al Kol Mosaf. Rav Acha remembers of the opinion that you blow tkios and therefore Shira on every single Mosaf. The Amar Lechol Echad Ve'echad Shiro, V'Hachli Katani Yimotu Yitche, Amo Lo Amru B'Shabbos Shechalamoy Ela Shir Shal Shabbos. So we see from here clearly that according to this Braisa, again, the fact that we did not say the Shira of Chalamoyd on Shabbos, that the Shira of Chalamoyd trumped the Shira of Shabbos, which tells you that you do not say multiple Shiros, and therefore, again, we do not blow multiple sets of Tekios. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'Harav Acha Brachanina, but there's only one problem. That in yesterday's daf, Rav Acha bar Chanina brought a braisa as well as a pasuk, a mishnah as well as a pasuk, to support his particular assertion. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what happens. Look at Rashi. Amravina. No, I'm sorry, we didn't read that yet. Amravina explains. Amravina lomar shema'arichin betkios. No, the way we could interpret ultimately the Braisa or the Mishnah as well as the Pasuk that Rav Acha brought was to teach us that when you have a confluence of different Shiros and different Tekios, what is the Halacha? The Halacha is Ma'arichin B'Tekios. We blow the Tekios for longer times. So meaning the Mishnah as well as the Pasuk that Rav Acha brought does not have to mean that we blow additional tekios, but rather what does it mean? That Lamaisa, we blow tekios for longer times. So whereas on a regular day when we'll sing Shira and we'll do tekios, we'll blow tekios for X amount of time. But if you have a day of multiple Musaf offerings, you blow the tekios for longer. Rabbanan de Kisari Mishmei de Rav Acha Amri and the Rabbanon of Caesarea, same name of Rav Acha, Lomar Shemarbe Betokin. No, it's not just that we simply go ahead and elongate the actual blast, but rather what? We actually add on more trumpet blowers. So that's the way we give cover. That's when we mark the idea that today is a day of multiple Musaf offerings, even though what? Even though we're not going to actually recite an additional Shira, and we're not going to actually blow additional tekios, we'll just simply amplify the already stated or the already sung Shiros and tekios. So also now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. So we who have 2 days, is obviously referring to the diaspora communities. So we who have 2 days, what should we do? What should we do? Now look at Rashi. So Rabosai, here's the interesting question. So what should we do? Now, obviously, Rabosai, when he's asking this question, he's not asking in terms of sacrificial order. What is he asking in terms of? He's asking in terms of tefillah. In terms of musaf, when we daven musaf, what day should we insert? What day should we insert? So the Gemara says, Abai says, ultimately, again, the second day is set aside. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, it's in the middle. It's in the middle of that Rashi. Rashi says, "Anon de islay." He says, "Well, I'll just read it again." Says, "Biyom hashishi la'karcha l'machshu yom tov lo matzlim biyom hashvi the imkei abadati lechol." So we'll say, "Let's just state it outside because pick up in the middle of Rashi." So according to Abaye, what we do is we dispense with sheni. We dispense with Shani. So also remember, the problem we have in Chutz La'aretz is that what? Is that we observe a second day Yom Tov. So our problem becomes that in reality, second day Yom Tov is what? Is really two things. It's a Safek Rishon. But it might also be first day Chol HaMoed. So according to Abaye, the way we resolve this doubt is, remember, we can't call the second day Chol HaMoed. Why can't you call the second day Chol HaMoed? Because in Maaseh again, it's still Safek Rishon. But by the time we've gotten to the third day again, we're now into Safek Sheni and Shlishi, but we've already gotten rid of the second day. And therefore, says Abaye, the easiest way is just simply to dispense with the readings of day two. This isn't Tefillah right now. On the other hand, Abaye Amar Sheni Yitcha, Rava Amar Rava says, Shvi'i Yitcha. Rava says, no, what we do is we just simply go in the regular order, but we dispense with the seventh day. So Tanya Kavase de Rava, we have seem to have an opinion that agrees with Rava. Imcha, and that Rashi says over here, Shvi'i Yitcha, Tanya Kavase de Rava, Imcha Shabbos Lios Be'echad Mehen. So mostly remember, the issue always comes up with Shabbos. What happens when Shabbos falls out on one of the days? So the halacha is, Yimotu Yitcha. So we dispense with day seven, like we saw before in the Gemara. So remember, on Shabbos of Chol HaMoed, we'll do the regular Kriya of Shabbos, the regular Kriyas of Shabbos, and we will dispense ultimately again with Chol HaMoed, and therefore again, after Shabbos, continue with the regular order. But interesting enough, Rabbi, what does the Gemara say? Iskin Ameimar ben Naharda de Medalge de Luge. Ameimar instituted in Naharda that literally they skip backwards. So we'll say this is very interesting. Take a look at Rashi here. Rashi is an important Rashi. Iskina meimar dimidalgi deluge. Benimtsu kulan omdin omrim biyom rishon shel Chol HaMoed. Biyom hasheni biyom hashishi. This is halacha lemaisa. So Ameimar says the following. What do they do? On the first day of Chol HaMoed. Now we'll say, remember, on the first day of Chol HaMoed by Ameimar in Babel. So what is it? Remember again, first day Chol HaMoed is what? Is the third day of Sukkot. Leave aside it, right? It's the third day of Sukkot. Because remember, we've already celebrated 2 days before, and it's the third day of Sukkot. Now watch this. So what would they do on the first day of Chol HaMoed? So Omer b'yom harishon shel Chol HaMoed. Now first day Chol HaMoed, third day Sukkot, b'yom hasheni u'b'yom hashlishi. So they would recite again the readings for the second day. And remember, right now, this has a dual ramification. This has ramification for tefillah and ramification for kriyas haTorah. So what would they do on the first day of Chol HaMoed? They would go ahead and read Yom HaSheni, the second day, because again, perhaps today is really yesterday. If you understand what I mean when I say that. It's not an esoteric concept, just a sake of the Yoma concept. And the third day, which again was that actual calendrical date. So therefore again, Safek Sheni, Safek Shishi. Because again, on that day, which again was their first day of Chol HaMoed, but the third day of Sukkot, it's a suffix, maybe it's the second day of Chol HaMoed, or maybe it's the third day of Chol HaMoed. Ulamachar Omer B'Yom HaShlishi, on the next day, which again was in Arda, the second day of Chol HaMoed, but was already the fourth day of Sukkot. So on that day, what would they read? B'Yom HaShlishi B'Yom Revi. And again, he goes through the whole order. I don't know why he goes through the whole order. B'Shlishi the Chol HaMoed, on the third day of Chol HaMoed, B'Yom Revi, B'Yom HaChamishi, or B'Revi'i, and on the fourth day of Chol HaMoed, which is going to say is the fifth day of Sukkot. So B'Revi'i, B'Yom HaChamishi, B'Yom HaShlishi, B'Chamishi the Chol HaMoed, Shehu Hoshana Rabbah. Now again, when we get to the fifth day of Chol HaMoed, which is already Hoshana Rabbah, Omri B'Yom HaShlishi, B'Yom HaShvi'i, Kisveiko. V'hainu delugi she'omrim hayom. So we'll say hayom ma she'omru esmo. So we'll say that's what it means. It's interesting. The lashon of medalgi delugi usually means in most context to skip. Normally, when we think about skip, we're thinking about skipping forward. Here, the skipping actually means what? Skipping backwards. Kidarmin and gabir rosh chodesh. Rav amar dolik shomer hashini echa min apsukim she'omar rishon v'chihei. So we'll say, listen to these last four lines in Rashi. And the same way that Amemar instituted this, Rabosai, for Tfila, meaning Musaf, we follow the same process. We follow the same process for Kriyas HaTorah as well. Shaharvi'i HaKore, Shehu Musaf B'Cholo Shamoid, Yoser Mishayim, because we also remember we have a fourth Ola that is more than the rest of the days. The Nikar Shuhu Balik Vodayom, who Kori es Sveke Hayom, Kimosha Shliach Tzibor Omram, Vim Shabbos, who Korna Mafti. Okay, so we'll say, so the point over here, you see, it just is quite interesting that you see the evolution, that what went from the Beis HaMikdash ultimately again to a very organized Shira. And again, in the Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos again set aside the particular day of Sukkot. So on Shabbos of Chol HaMoed, we only recited the Shira ultimately of Shabbos and not on Chol HaMoed. Therefore, in a situation like that, again, the seventh day would ultimately get bumped off. So even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they would say these same kapitloch. This evolved ultimately into our process for Tefillah as well as for Kriyas HaTorah. We follow the practice of Amemar, and therefore, again, on each of the days of Chol HaMoed, both in our Tefillah as well as in our Kriya, we cover our bases because of the Sveik of the Yoma, and the Kriya includes actually, again, yesterday's possibility, today's possibility. The truth is, in our Kriya, we also add in what? Tomorrow's possibility as well. But the truth is, some of that is really just, you'll excuse me, what we call a little bit of Kriyas HaTorah filler, right? That, again, we need to add in a couple of extra psukim in order to go ahead and be able to round out the Kriya. But the Ikar Kriya really is yesterday's possibility as well as today's possibility. Says the Mishnah, Amud Beis. Yom Tov Rishon Shalchad, Hayu Sham Yigivas. We'll say, again, now we're going to spend a little bit more time on the sacrificial order of the day. But again, it's quite fascinating. The Mishnah says like this. Let me give you just one word of introduction to this. We know that there are 24 mishmaros. There are 24 shifts of kohanim. Each mishmar was made up of multiple batei avos, multiple families, and each shift would serve for a week at a time. Right? When they'd go through it, after they've gone through the 24 shifts, so they'd go ahead and repeat the order again. There were three times throughout the year when all of the shifts were on call, and that's where the regalim. So on Regalim, we're going to see all 24 Mishmaros of Kohuna were invited to come and serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah is going to speak about how exactly they divvied up everything among the Mishmaros. So Yom Tov Harishon Shalchad. So on the first day of Yom Tov, Hayusham Yud Gimel Parim. So remember again, we're going to talk about now the sacrificial order of Sukkot. So there were 13 bulls, Elim Shnayim, two rams, the so'ir echad, and one goat. Okay, so I will say, so understand, for a total of 16 animal offerings. So therefore, again, I will say, each of those items was taken by one of the mishmoros. So again, if you have 24 shifts, we have 16 offerings. Now each one taken by one mishmar. So what are we left with? We're left with eight. Nishtayru sham yudalik kvasim, lishmona shmona. So I will say, here's what's interesting. There were still, as part of the order of the day, we'll discuss where these were from, 14 lambs. So there were 14 lambs to now be offered by a remaining eight watches, eight mishmoros, eight groups of kohanim. So what happened? Yudal kvasim l'shmona mishmoros. So how do we divide it up? Biyom Rishon, Shisha Makriben Shnayim, Vashar Echad. So on the first day, the way we divide it up is that six of the Kohanic groups offered up two lambs, and the remaining two offered one. I'm sorry, Vashar Echad Echad. Bisheni, Chamisha Makrivim Shnayim. On the second day, five of the remaining Kohanic groups offered two lambs. Shnayim Shnayim. Vahashar Echad Echad. And the remainder offered one lamb. Bishlishi. And again, I've also said, because remember, again, this is going down. Bishlishi. Dalid Makrivim Shnayim Shnayim. Vahashar Echad Echad. On the third day, four groups would offer two lambs each, and the rest only one. Birivi. On the fourth day, Shlosha Makrivim Shnayim Shnayim. Three groups would offer two lambs. Vashar echad echad. Bichamishi on the fifth day. Shnayim makrivim shnayim shnayim. Two groups would offer two lambs each. Vashar echad echad. And the remaining groups would offer one apiece. Bishishi hayu makriv shnayim. Shnishi echad makriv shnayim. On the sixth day, one group would offer two lambs. Vashar echad echad. And bishvii kulan shavim. And ultimately, again, on the seventh day. Everyone was equal because, again, the remaining eight groups of Kohanim would offer one lamb each. I will say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here, Nishtairu, Dechala Mishmoros Zochos Bechovos Habaos Machmas HaRegel BeRegel Ve'in Mishmar Shal Osa Shabbos Yechola La'akev Ala Kida Amrim B'Gimara. So I will say, this is very interesting. What the Gemara is pointing out over here is the following. Remember, as much as everyone is invited to go, all the groups of Kohanim are invited to go on the Beis HaMikdash during the Regalim, there was one particular Mishmar whose actual lot fell out on, let's say, that week of Sukkot. Nevertheless, the Mishnah is teaching us is the one group whose lot fell out on that week cannot prevent the other groups of Kohanim from serving in the Beis HaMikdash on that week. Now, obviously, you'll say to yourself, but why would a Kohen ever want to go ahead and prevent other Kohanim from serving the Beis HaMikdash? This is beautiful. It's altruistic. Remember, for Kohanim, service in the Beis HaMikdash was also a source of parnasa because they got to keep the hides of the animals. They also, again, the meat was theirs. So the notion that now suddenly all of you, like it's in Mamash, like a huge family gathering, and we all know about family gatherings, right? So the fact that now everybody's converging on the Beis HaMikdash, this was not so poshut, but nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying is, the Kohanim whose turn it was did not have the right to prevent the other Kohanim from participating again in the services related to the Yom Tov. We're going to see that the Kabbalos that are related to the day itself, those were the property of the ultimate of the Kohanim who are on call. So we'll see that. Bishmini, I will say what happens on Shmini Atzeres. Bishmini Chazru Lefayis Kibiragalim. And what happened? And on Shmini Atzeres, they went back to draw lots once again. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, "V'er Shmini Chozrin LePayis Kibiragalim, Par Echad VaAyel Echad V'Shiva Kvasim Akrevim Shmini." So the one bull, the one ram, and the seven lambs that were offered up on Shmini Atzeres, Ein Krevim Kesider Karbanos Achag Shekarvu Lefi Seder Mishmaros Kidibain LeFarushim Maskana. So here's what's interesting. What's interesting to note is on the days of Sukkot themselves, because there were so many karbanos, you didn't have to draw lots because there was something for everyone. On Shmini Atzeres, as much as everyone is entitled to be in the Beis HaMikdash and to participate in the Avodah, the karbanic pool is much less. As such, what do they have to do? On Shmini Atzeres, they had to draw lots to see who was going to participate in the service because, again, as much as everyone was entitled to be there, there was not enough for everyone.
So this is like Pesach and Shavuot.
Correct. Sukkot is a unique carbonic anomaly just because of the sheer volume of carbonos. So the Gemara goes on. Amru, mi shehikriv parim hayom, lo yakriv parim lo yakriv lamachar. And I've also said they made a rule, and the rule was that whoever got to participate in the parim, remember again, there were 13 parim. Whoever got, now remember that number decreased over the course of Sukkot as well. So the halacha was that whoever got to participate in the par service one day did not get to participate in the par service the next day. Misha Hekriv parim, whoever's offered the bulls today, lo yakriv lemachar, they would not be able to offer it tomorrow. El Chozrin Chalila. We'll say Chalila means rotation, rather they would be entered back into the rotation. Look at Rashi. Rashi is Amram Mishayu Makriv Hayom Parim Lohayu Makriv Lamachar. Parim. Sheina Mishmaro Shekrivu Kavasim Etmol Manichim Osam Elachosun Chalila Vinimtu Kolon Shonos Umashal Shosuparim Chutz Mishtaim. So again, the idea was they wanted to give everyone a chance to participate in the par service. Now, why does everybody want to participate in the par service? I will say for a very simple reason, which is what? Hides. Hides. Remember, again, the par, out of all of the karbanos, the par was the one that was the most valuable for the Kohanim, not just because of a nice steak, but because, again, the hides become the property of the Kohanim who enter. So therefore, again, we want to make sure that there is a equal distribution of opportunity over here for all the Kohanim to share in the bounty of the Karbanos as well. Therefore, Lemaisa, if you served in the par service today, you would not go back tomorrow. And I will say, again, it doesn't mean you wouldn't get a second chance. There's a strong possibility you get a second chance, but we don't allow you to do it again at least the next day. We want to make sure everybody gets a first chance before those have a chance to repeat the service. Neimamas says the Gemara, Neimamas Nisin, Rebbe Hi, Velo Rabbanan. Say that our Mishnah reflects if you have Rebbe and not the Rabbanan. How so? This Sanya. Harabar B'Shemini. So I'll say now, this is, bless you, this was specifically referring to Shemini Atzeres. Parhaba B'Shemini, Betchila Mefaisin Alov, because the par that comes on the eighth day, remember again, on Shemini Atzeres, Rabbosai, there's only one par. There's only one bull, one ayah, one ram, and Shiva Kvasim, and seven lambs. So now the Brisa says that when they bring that par on Shemini Atzeres, so betchila mefaisin alav divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says that halacha lemaisa, we go ahead and we do a whole new rotation. The chachamim say, echad mishtei mishmoros delo shulshu beparim osa. Now Bosa again is very interesting. So now remember, so you have Rebbe, so Shemini Atzeres, Rebbe says we do a brand new pious, a brand new lottery. All 24 mishmoros are entered into the lottery, and we see who gets the privilege. The Rabbanan say no. Rebbe says it's very interesting. The Rabbanan say the way it worked out over Sukkis is that of the 24 shifts, so 22 of them had the chance to do the par twice. There are only two families, or I should say two mishmoros, two shifts, that didn't get the chance to do the par twice. So according to the Rabbanon, who
is three.
I'm sorry?
Shilshu is three, not two. They had the chance to do three, not two. Most of them had a chance to do three.
I'm sorry, you're correct. I'm sorry, thank you. Thank you. They did it three, they already did it three. So according to the Rabbanon, there were two families that did not yet get a chance to do the par a third time. So say the Rabbanon, the par of Shemini Atzeres was left to one of those two families. Osa. So Bosa, I think what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the Mishnah must reflect the view of Rebbe. Why? Because the Mishnah said that what did they do on Shemini Atzeres? They did a pious. They did a lottery. So it sounds like who did they do a lottery for? All 24 Mishmoros. So it only reflects the view of Rebbe. But according to Rabbanon, apparently they were not to a pious, but rather again, the par of Shemini Atzeres would be given to one of the other two families. To which the Gemara says, no, afilu tamer Rabbanon. It could even reflect the view of the Rabbanon. How so? Atu shtei mishmoros lo afuse boy. I will say, even according to the Rabbanon, you still have to do a lottery. Why? Why do you need a lottery? Because you would still have to decide which of the two families would ultimately get to do that part. So I will say, everybody's agreeing there was a pious on Shemini Atzeres. As such, the Mishnah could even reflect the view of the Rabbanon, because all the Mishnah was telling me is that we do a lottery on Shemini Atzeres. What's the machlokes Rabbi in the Rabbanon? Who's in the pool? According to Rebbe, everyone's back in the pool, right? All 24. According to the Rabbanon, only the two families that did not have a third chance at doing the par over Sukkis are entered into this pool for Shemini Atzeres. So Keman Azla Hadisanya, whose opinion is reflected in the following brisa. Hadisanya, Kala Mishmoros Shonos Umishal Shos. Every one of the mishmoros have a chance to not only do it a second time, but also do it a third time. Chutz mishnei mishmoros, except for two of the mishmoros, sheshonos ve'ina mishalshos, that have a chance to do it a second time and not a third time. Neima Rebbe v'lo Rabbanan. This would go ahead and seem to reflect the view of Rebbe and not the Rabbanan. Why Rabbosai? Because according to the Rabbanan, remember again, one of those two families would what? Would have a chance to go out and do an additional time as well. To which the Gemara says, no, afilu tamer Rabbanan. Milo shalshu. What does it mean that they were not shalshu? Does it mean they didn't have a third opportunity? Bepari achag. It means they didn't have an opportunity a third time with the karbanos of Sukkis. Umay kamash. Meaning they might get additional opportunity on Shmini Atzeres, but they didn't have a third opportunity again on Sukkis. Umay kamash. What does it come to teach us? Hakamash malon. Mi shikrif parim hayom lo yakrif l'machar elecholzin chalila. What it does teach us, Rabbi Osai, is like we said in the Mishnah, that Lamaisa, those who did the par today, do not do the are automatically excluded from the par service tomorrow, but rather again they go back into the rotation, go back into the pious for the following day. Okay, now the Gemara says a beautiful piece of Agarata. Amar Rabbi Elozer. Yes, Amar Rabbi Elozer. Rabbi Elozer says the following: Hani Shivin Parim Keneged Mi. So Rabbi Osai Gemara, over the course of Sukkis, we have a total of 70 bulls. 70 bulls that are offered. So why 70? Kineged Shivim Umos. These 70 bulls correspond to the 70 nations. Par Yichidi Lama. So why do we have again the Par Yichidi, the one par on Shmini Atzeres? So the Gemara says, Kineged Uma Yichida. This corresponds to the singular nation, referring to Klal Yisrael. So the 70 nation, the 70 parim over the course of Sukkot is referred to the 70 nations. The singular power refers to Klal Yisrael. Why? This is compared to a king of flesh and blood who says to his servants, Asu li su'uda gidola, make for me a great feast. And on that great feast, that king invites everyone, right? All of his subjects to the feast. The omachar, on the last day of feasting, what does he say? Amar li ohavo, Asei li su'uda kitana. So on the last day of feasting, the king says to his most favorite, to his most beloved constituents, let's make a small su'uda, just me and you, kedisha ena mimecha, imcha, in order that I can get hana'a just from you. Let's tell everybody else to go home, and you stay here for one more day, and we'll have a more intimate su'uda together. So says Rabbi Elazar, this is the sort of Shmini Atzeres. Over the course of the 7 days of Sukkot, there are 70 bulls that are offered corresponding to the 70 nations. We'll say a very important yisod, just in general. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just our God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not just love us. I think often it's a little bit of a Jewish tunnel vision approach to think that God is just cares about the Jewish people and the Gentiles could just, you know, go do whatever they want. The Ribono Shel Olam is the God of humanity. And as such, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has exceptional compassion on all of humanity, which is why that we have an obligation towards humanity as well, that the Ribono Shel Olam's children as well. And the fact is that the Ribono Shel Olam has us offer up karbanos on their behalf, So we are offering up karbanos on behalf of the 70 nations. But at the end of the day, what we also recognize is that we enjoy a singular and unique relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. That is really embodied by Shmini Atzeres, which is only one par corresponding to the small suit of the singular unique relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara ends up with such a beautiful idea. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oy lehem la'avdei kochavim, she'avdu ve'in yodin ma she'avdu. Woe to the idolaters who lost out and they don't even realize what they lost out on. What does that mean? Bizman she'beis hamikdash kayim, when the Beis Hamikdash stood, mizmech mechaper aleihem. The altar atoned for them as well. The achshav nimechaper aleihem. And now, where does their atonement come from? So we'll say it's such an incredible yisod. You say it by slichos, right? You see, ki beisi beis tevila yikari lechol ha'amin. The Beis Hamikdash was a spiritual center for all of humanity. For all of humanity. Remember, non-Jews could offer up karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash as well, and they did throughout history. So says Rabbi Yochanan, you know how ironic it is that the place in which we, the Jewish nation, offered atonement for the nations of the world was a lightning rod for such aggression by the nations of the world. And woe to them, because they think they destroyed our temple. They didn't destroy our temple. They destroyed the source of their kapar, of their atonement as well. Very profound Gemara. Says the Mishnah. I'm sorry?
They haven't changed.
Yeah. Says the Mishnah. B'shlosha parakim b'shana, hayu kol mishmaro shabbos. So we'll say, remember, this is continuing on the previous thing. This is really quite fascinating. Just also, the Sefer Achinuch Rabosai says, just say as an aside, explains that one of the reasons that we have an obligation of Aliyah L'Regel. Why is an obligation of Aliyah L'Regel three times a year? Why do I have to leave my home, go to the Beis HaMikdash? So part of it is to come to the Beis HaMikdash, but there's another reason, says the Sefer Achinuch, which is to observe the Kohanim. The Kohanim were spiritual role models. The Kohanim taught us how to live life. So part of Aliyah L'Regel was just to go and see and be around Kohanim. So I wondered if you could imagine during the three Regalim, where you had all of the Kohanic families. Remember, Kohanic families represent the Jewish aristocracy. They were the top of the Judaic ladder. They were literally aristocracy. So to see all 24 mishmoros of the Kohanim assembled in the Beis HaMikdash, if you could just imagine what that must have, besides being in the Beis HaMikdash, what it must have looked like, it was amazing. So the Mishnah describes it. B'shlosha prakim b'shana, three times throughout the year, hayu kol mishmoros shavos, be'emuri harigolim, u'bechiluk lechem aponim. So Rav Osai, again, three times throughout the year, all of the Kohanic shifts, all of the Kohanic families were equal, meaning had equal rights. Be'emure harigam. Now I will say this lashon of emure is an interesting lashon over here. We're going to see what the Rav is going to explain. What it actually means is karbanos. Emurim doesn't normally mean karbanos. Emurim actually normally means what? Sacrificial parts that are burned on the Mizbeah. That's right. We'll see why the Gemara Mishnah uses this lashon. But again, we'll see emurim over here in this context means sacrificial items. So all the Kohanic families have equal rights in the sacrificial services that are related to the Yom Tov itself. Rashi says over here, Be'emuri regalim, Pa'oros shal olos, Be'chazei v'shok shal shal mechagigo, Habos machmas haregel. So I was like, what does this mean? This means, again, that with any of the animals offered up because of the carbonos, they have equal rights in the hides of any ola, and the chazei v'shok, and the pieces of meat of shal mechagigo, all of the carbonos, because remember, what's the novelty here? What's the novelty in this statement? The novelty in this statement is, remember, there is one shift, there is one mishmar, whose actually allotted time is, let's say, this week of Sukkot. So they're getting a little bit, you know, we'll see, they still get their part, but here it's their shift, you know, as a Kohen, as a Kohen family, the most you get are 2 weeks throughout the year, the most. And yet what? And yet again, here on your shift, all of your family is showing up. So what the Mishnah is trying to point out is what everybody has a right in, what they don't have a right in. So they all have a right in. Essentially, any carbon that is associated with the Yom Tov, all of the Mishmoros share in that equally. And when we say share in that, it means not just ability to offer it, but it means hides and meat. U'bichilik lechem aponim. Oh, here's the other interesting chab. And also the distribution of lechem aponim. Look at Rashi. Bichilik lechem aponim. Im ira Shabbos beregel, sheb Shabbos misalkin osu misadron lechem acher tachtov kidichsiv. Yom Shabbos Yachar. So this is very interesting. Remember, on Shabbos, they changed over Lechem Aponim. That Lechem Aponim was normally distributed again to the shift on call. Here, when that occurs on Yom Tov, everyone gets a portion of that. Uba'atzeres is very interesting. And on Shavuos, what do they say? Omer lo, Helech Matzah, Helech Chametz. Take some matzah. Here's your matzah, here's your chametz. So what does this mean? On Shavuos, there was a special covenant called the Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem, Rabosai, if you look at Rashi says over here, Uba'atzeres, so let's listen to this. So the Shtei Alechem was a carbon that was brought on Shavuos that was comprised of many loaves. The loaves were chametz. Lechem Aponim was matzah. And I will say, it's not matzah like we think about it. Again, they had thicker matzah, but it wasn't. It was matzah. It was not unleavened bread, because there's no chametz in the Beis HaMikdash. The exception to that rule is the Shtei Alechem. So I will say, on Shavuos, listen to this. So remember, Shavuos is one of the regalim, which means all 24 mishmoros are there. So what would they do? So remember again, now let's say it's Shabbos. So let's say you had a situation where it's Shabbos Shavuos. So what would they do? They would distribute to all of the Kohanim, Lechem Aponim, as well as a portion of the Shtei Alechem. But here's the interesting chav. So you can't say, you know, this guy, you'll get some Shtei Alechem, you'll get some matzah, and you'll trade your portion. This, no. Everybody had to get a little bit of something, because every Kohen is entitled to both of these portions. So that's why whoever was distributing it, and we'll see who was distributing it, would say to the Kohanim, listen, Helach matzah, here's your portion of matzah. Matzah in this context means what? Lechem Aponim. Here's your Lechem Aponim. Helach matzah, Helach chametz. And here's your Shtei Alechem. Mishmar Shezmanu Kavua. So we'll say, now what about, again, what about that Mishmar? What about Mishmar A, whose actual allotted time was over the regal? Right? Let's say again, so Mishmar A, their calendrical right is to this regal. So what did they get to do? Mishmar Shezmanu Kavua, who makrif tmidim, nedarim unedavos. The Mishmar who was technically on call, they offered up the carbon tamid, morning tamid, afternoon tamid. Next, they offered up nedarim and nedavos, any voluntary or vow offerings, ushar karbanos tzibor, and any other communal offerings, umakrives hakol, and they do the entire service. Another Rabbah said, what does that mean? Any karbanos not related to the Yom Tov were the sole domain of the mishmar that was on call. The only rights that the other 23 mishmaros had was to Yom Tov associated karbonos. But again, karbon tov shel shachar, karbon tov shel ben arba'im, nidarim, nidavos, any other karbon sibor, those were the sole domain of the on call mishmar. Says the Gemara, imuri haragolim shel gabaninu. How can you say? Remember, the Mishnah said that all of the mishmaros on the regalim get to share in the emurim of the regalim. How can you say emurim? Emurim means sacrificial parts. Sacrificial parts are burned on the mizbeach. Amar chista masha amar beregalim. No. Emurim doesn't mean sacrificial parts. Rather, what does emurim mean? Those things that are stated in the Torah regarding the regalim. So emurim in this context comes from lashon of amar. Lashon of Amar, the things that the Karbanos that the Torah stated are the sacrificial service of the Yom Tov, those are the domain of all the Mishmaros. How do we know that all of the watches, that all the Quranic shifts are equal when it comes to the Yom Tov, to the Yom Tov offerings? Talmud Lomar, Uba b'chol avas nafsho, v'sheres. Because Rabbi said, the Pasuk says, V'chiyava ha-levi me'echad sha'arecha mikol Yisrael asher ugar sham, v'chal avas nafsho, v'el ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem. Ultimately, again, the Torah says, if you take a look at Rashi, u'ba b'chal avas nafsho v'shiris kichol echav, she'in ha-mishra ma'akiv alav, v'cheven de'zocha b'abadasa, zocha b'achidasa. So Rabbi said, because the Pasuk says, that ultimately, again, during the regalim, that the literally some at the Levi, but it means all of Shevet Levi, even the Kohanim will come, whoever desires and can serve. Once he has the right to serve, then what? Once you have the right to serve, then you also have the right to eat. If you have the right to participate in the avodah, you also have the right of consumption. So the Gemara says, Lo amarti ela, I'm sorry, yochol af b'shai mos hashara. So maybe this also means that what? Maybe this also means that Lamaisa Kohen can show up anytime. Let's say I'm a Kohen, and I get an itch to go ahead and do avodah. So I'm just gonna show up in the middle of Tammuz, and I'm gonna go ahead and serve in the Beis Hamikdash. So I might have thought that I'm allowed to do that. Lo amarti, me'echad sha'arecha. The pasuk says from one of your gates. Lo amarti ela b'sha'a she'kol Yisrael nichnasen b'shar echad. This is only said when. When all of Klal Yisrael enters through one gate. I will say, when does all of Klal Yisrael enter through one gate? That's a reference to Aliyah L'Regel. Look at Rashi, Tam Lomer Me'echad Sharecha, Reisha Dekra V'chiyava Halevi Me'echad Sharecha, V'darish Le'hachi Kimo Be'echad Sharecha, Kishe Kol Yisrael Nechnasim B'Shar Echad Klomar Be'ir Achos. When does all of Klal Yisrael enter through one gate into one city? That's the Regalim. So when does the member of the tribe of Levi have the right to show up simply because he desires to do so? Only during the regalim. But during the rest of the year, again, the avodah is the sole domain of the Kohanic shift on call. But again, during the regalim, Rabosai, all Kohanim have a right in the avodah. But as the Gemara already qualified, that right is limited to what? Sacrificial service associated with the Yom Tov itself. But sacrificial service that is part of the daily avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, only the technical mishmar on call has the rights to do so. The visiting mishmaros do not. All right, then we'll say we'll continue over here. Again, tomorrow is our last daf of Sukkah. We are going to begin at 5:45 again because it's a longer daf. And then Amir Tzashem, Tuesday, we resume a regular schedule.
If you're not here,
Beta.